This is the Capricorn FM podcast.
Welcome to the Urban Hot 40 right here on Capricorn FM Limpopo's hottest frequency. And as usual, we'll be getting an in-depth look into your favorite artists who are actually doing the most on the Urban Hot 40. And right now I'm joined by none other than Sinom Solo, who is no stranger to the Urban Hot 40, actually. He has been featured in a lot of songs that have been doing so well, or have done so well, have gone number one, and have taken the world by storm as well. Sinom Solo, how are you, my brother?
I'm good, man. How's it?
I'm doing great, nice. Things now.
Dope.
Everywhere we hear that you developed your music, well, your love for music from a very young age. At this point, when you realized that you love music, did you just view it as just something that you loved, or did you already have ambitions to actually be a performing artist?
Hey man, like with music, as you just said, like I've always loved it, but back then I'd say I just thought it was just like a side thing that I would do for fun, like sports vibes or whatever. But then when I got to high school, then that's when I was like, okay, sharp, this thing. And then I got information, okay, sharp, you can do this thing like full time and you get money from it. So I was like, let me just do it like full time, and someday then I'll just provide my family with it, because it's something that I love and I spent more time doing it.
And speaking of family, how was your family throughout your journey? Were they supportive of your dreams? Because I can imagine when we come from black African families, it's always like, oh, okay, maybe focus on something else and then do music after. How were they when you told them about your love for music and that you wanted to do it?
Hey man, like my parents, you can imagine, they're both like teachers. So it's tough already. So like my father's a principal, my mother is like, as a teacher as well. So like for us, it was just school. There's nothing else you can do out there that will sustain you for life other than school. So for me, when I told them that I'm now gonna do this thing, like they were so hesitant. They were like, nah, you have to finish school, don't do this. People who do this, like they end up dying, and then we have to donate money for them, whatever. And I was like, hey, I'm gonna do this thing either way. And eventually, they saw good, okay, sharp. I'm so stubborn and I love this thing and I keep doing it without their permission. They're like, okay, sharp, let's let you do it. So that you'll be fine. And then you don't say one day, we never supported you. So ever since, man, like they've been so supportive, and I'm ever like grateful for that.
But obviously, when they were telling you all these stories about how some artists actually make it at some point, and then at some point we have to go donate for them, it might have like at some point hit a nerve somewhere, somehow, and you might have thought of doing something different. So I just want to know now, if Sinom Solo was not a singer, was not making music, was not a performing artist, what would you be doing?
I wouldn't be alive. I wouldn't be on this earth. Because I feel like I came on this earth to sing. Then like other things, nah, I don't think they would. But then other, like if I were to, the probability would say, I would be like, what would I be? Maybe like I'll be like a comedian or something.
That I can see.
Maybe like, yeah.
I can see that working.
Yeah.
And also, you made a move to Johannesburg, which proved to be fruitful, as you have since then been behind the makings and behind some of the hit songs that we have grown to love and enjoy. How did this happen? How did you decide, okay, you know what, I'm going to Johannesburg and I'm going to chase this?
And as you know, for every like artist or art doing person, you always want to be in Joburg. You always want to end up in Joburg. And for me, Joburg was the place that I wanted to be. And coming to Joburg was a decision I made when I was studying in Bloom. So I was like, let me actually come to Bloom. And unfortunately, there was like reasons that led me to coming to Bloom, because Sana noticed me and then ended up coming to Joburg. And then from Joburg, I worked on music. Some producers, of course, noticed me from doing that. And then I'll be called from studio to studio and then recording songs. I met them, Tuda like that. I met Kabza like that. I met Musa Keys like that. So ever since, man, it has just been like that.
You mentioned Sun L, and I would like to believe that he is part of your discovery and your big break. What happened? How did you link up with him? How did he discover you?
I was from a gig actually in Bloom. My first paying gig actually. They paid me 1,000 rand. And then some two girls after the show, they were like, hey, bruh, you must do a video there singing and post it on Twitter and tag artists. You never know. And then same night I did that thing. And then same night Sanal texted, like, retweeted my thing, and then he texted me, and then I got these numbers next day. And then a few days later I was gonna come to Joburg for some other gig. And then I used this, like, the trip to come to Joburg, and then I obviously met Sanal through that trip, and then ever since, man, it has just been amazing.
So obviously, yeah. I just need to ask, seeing as also these ladies from that gig had some role, have you ever found them, or have you ever just tried to see if they're still there? Do you know them? Have you just, like, wanted to go there and be like, yo guys, you girls helped change my life in a way?
Actually, I still, like, once in a while, like, I talk to them because we still follow each other and stuff, and then we remind each other, hey, when you remember, we told you to watch what they were like. I still remember one of them is Amanda, actually, from Bloom. And then the other one was her friend, so I forgot the name. But, like, I still remember them. I talk to them once in a while.
Ah, man, that is such a beautiful story. Yeah. Also, take us through your thought process. When you get in studio, what do you do? Yeah. How do you mentally prepare to come up with some of the lyrics behind some of these hit songs that you have out now?
Hey, man, with me, music, I feel like it's so natural to a point where anything flows. I get to studio, we play the beats. Of course, I'll choose the one that, like, I like. And then few minutes or few moments, I start singing. And I start with the chorus most of the times. I start with the chorus. And then some songs just flow. I can just sing out of the, like, on the spot. And then some songs need some thinking so that I know what I'm talking about, because I don't want to talk about the same thing again and again. So I just play the beat in studio. I start singing. I start writing lyrics. I just sing on the spot.
And also, you've had the pleasure of traveling across the world for performances. Which country have you been to that to this day stood out for you and you're thinking, you know what, this was the highlight of my career?
I would say Mozambique. Mozambique actually was the first time I got there. Like, my first time, like, my very first gig in Mozambique. Like, I felt like a superstar, because that gig was so packed to a point where everyone was just singing whatever song they didn't know that I performed. But more especially, they had to go, this is the guy that sings Jola. So they were just the vibe from the get-go till the end.
Yeah, I can just imagine how it feels. But when you're out there singing and then people are singing along, and
bro,
it must be a surreal feeling, right?
Yo, it's too much. Like, it's a dream come true, man, because I feel like every artist likes that or would love that to happen. Which people sing their songs and, like, vibe to the song. So, like, for me, seeing that happen is actually like a dream come true, man. Like, it harms me, like, every time.
And it's all because of your talent. And if we're just to say you are really talented, truly talented as a singer. And now I just need to ask, you have a voice, like, a very good voice. Have you ever used your voice to serenade someone?
Well, like, I'll say I've used it, like, my whole life. Like, in high school, I would think girls would be crying. Varsity, I would sing. Yeah, but, like, nah, I would say, like, almost every time. Like, every time.
No, I truly believe,
like, almost every time.
And you and I now are talking because your song Shandapa is currently doing amazing and is on the Urban Hot 40. Tell us about the song. How did it come about? What inspired the song?
Okay, this song, man, like, came about where, and, like, we were at a hotel. It was somewhere around Sentin, and then it was me and my DJ, Le Royal, and then he was playing beats, because when they were like, hey, bro, let's just chill and have, like, a session, yeah. And then he was playing, like, me beats, and then I recorded on some, and then he played the beat for Shandapa. I was like, nah, this one, I like this one. This one is mine. And then we were laughing about it. And then I started, like, coming up with melodies and stuff. I was like, nah, let me do a song that, like, is a compliment. I know I've done it before, but now let me do, like, a different feel of a song that is actually a compliment, not only to girls, but to everyone. Would say, whatever that you're doing and whoever that you are, you are beautiful in whatever that you're doing or whatever shape or form that you are. So, and then we started, like, I was singing, coming up with lyrics, and then I started singing, and then it was something else. And then people came into studio, they were like, actually, this song is nice. And then Sun came and was like, hey, Brad, let me put a verse on this one. And then it was just a thing like that.
Yeah, I was just about to get to that. Like, you have Sipho Maguduli on this one and Sun. I don't know why every time I back announce a song or introduce a song, I go S-O-N. Why is it, like, do you know the backstory behind this name, maybe?
I wish I knew. His name is Baby Sun, S-O-N. I don't even know. But, nah, I don't actually know.
You know what?
Even his name doesn't have or doesn't start with any of the letters.
Yeah, no, I think I'm going to have to reach out at some point and find out from him personally on what this.
I have to ask.
Yeah, good to know what's going on here.
Yeah.
Him and Sipho Maguduli actually featured on Shandapa and again on Makondana.
Yeah.
How did you meet these two guys and decide that, you know what, I would love to work with you guys on more than just one project?
With Sun, I met him when I was recording a song for Slade.
Yes.
So I met him in that studio, like in the studio session. So I met him there and then we're talking. Of course, like as musicians, you just like vibe and then next thing you're exchanging numbers and stuff. And then from there, I just know him from there. And then Usipho, there's a song by Dempuda called And then I knew him from that song. And funny enough, I've never met him up until the song was out because he put his other part of the song when I was not there. So I go on to Instagram and then I search him and then we started talking from there and then we did the songs.
Yeah, beautiful. And this are all coming from your recent body of work, Fezisa, which is also doing great.
Yeah.
And on this one as well, like when it comes to features, you've worked with a lot of artists, you've worked with a lot of producers. Yeah. How do you decide on who would work well with a Sinom Solo brand or anyone who comes and says, hey, is the beat that talks to you or you just feel what happens? How do you decide on features and projects that you want to jump on?
I like something that will always remind me of my humble beginnings, which like I'd like to meet someone who will remind me of how I started, like who will have the same hunger that I had and I still have for pushing. So being in a studio with someone that has that energy and wants the same thing and the music like speaks the same, like we have the same vibe, we like the same kind of music. So for me, that speaks more than anything. I don't need to have like a biggest artist in the song for me to feel right about everything. If the energy is right, the music is right, we align in many things, then why not do a song? So everyone that are featured in every song, we have a common thing in that sense.
Oh, nice, man. So also, like with all these songs that you've been featured on, like I do mention this time and time again, like from Sanel's project, from your own individual projects, from the Kabzas, from Uncle Waffles, it's brought, I would like to believe that all these songs that are hit songs have brought so much attention to you and so much fame and love. How do you handle all of this? I mean, obviously when you want to be a musician, you want to put your music out there, but another thing that comes with the music and having your music loved by a lot of people is that everyone now wants a piece of Sinom Solo. How do you handle all this fame that you're getting?
Hey man, with this one, I just remain being myself more than anything and I become real to myself. I don't shock myself now and be like, hey bro, why have you changed now? Like, why this now? Why are you starting to do this? Even with the people that have been there for me, like I try to remain the same. I try be reachable to them as much as possible rather than like, of course things will change, but I try to be real as much as possible and for whatever that is happening for me, I don't take it as a thing which I have to feel myself or I have to feel like I'm powerful more than anyone. It just shows what the brand, the music has done so much work and mean that the best thing that I can do is just remain being myself and grow, obviously, but not change and think that I'm better than anyone.
Oh, I love that. Such beautiful answer, man. And now I just have to ask, obviously, I'm sure now if someone wants to take your phone and go through your phone, obviously you have like probably 1,000 DMs and these are just half of them, are people reposting are sharing with you that they're dancing to your music, are sharing with you that they're loving your music. But there are also those ones who are just like weird. What's the weirdest DM you've gotten, you've ever gotten?
There's this other funny one I got. Some girl sent me a dog, ne?
Yeah.
Like an emoji of a dog. And then I'm just asking myself, I'm like, why a dog? And then before I responded, though, because I was going to laugh. And then she was like, oops, Sporty is like running away. So Sporty ended up like coming here. I was like, sorry, I'm going to first Sport. I'm like, hey, my dude. What's happening
here? Now, no, you gotta give it to that lady, man. That's some creative shooting of your shot there.
I'm like, ah, this one. But I was laughing. I was like, hey, people.
That's creativity on another level. I know. Salute to that girl, man. And now, back on Shandapa, it's a beautiful song. Yeah. It sounds like a personal song. Was there someone in mind when you wrote this one? I mean, yes, you talk about how we wanna show appreciation and good to know you are that person, but obviously, Konomund is there.
Well, like there is, like, cause like every song that I do, there's times where there is someone, and there's times where there's no someone, and there's times where someone comes after the song. So now it kind of makes more sense with Okay Sharp. Actually, about this song, so every time I do a song, funny enough, is the actual thing that I'm talking about in the song usually happens after.
So I would be right in assuming that the person you're talking about in Shandapa is the person you were manifesting in Jola.
Out, you are young Jola, you know.
So I'm right in that sense.
Yes.
No, I think now, so we should actually, if you say that some of the songs are actually speaking into life, things that are going to happen in like the near future, let's have a song, Mina Nawe, like a song, Kulumango, Nge Moto, Nge Mali, Eni, you know.
Hey. That can happen, actually. You never know.
You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
And on Jola, you mentioned how Daliwako is piti when I'm my love.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm saying it right. Am I saying it right?
So Daliwako is piti piti.
Yeah.
Yes, Daliwako is piti piti. So we're not saying wrong. Like we're young.
So that what it means, like spitipit is in the head, like
you are one, I don't know, man. It's like I love you so much to a point where I just don't know what to do. Like when Zingondo Yami Zule, like one chakan chakant.
I get it now.
Yeah.
So that's what the Shandapa now is doing.
Hey, the Shandapa is doing even more than that. It's too hectic.
The Shandapa now, when Zimkabango wako, go to Uvela.
Uvela Chune. Why me, guys?
So, Umkabango wako to go to Uvela Ujula, it means what you're saying now, go to why you?
No, Umkabango wako to Ujula, like, you make me think so much. You get me, like, you make me get into my feels. Like, you make me, like, go deep. Like, think deep about how I'm feeling.
Yeah, no, you go in deeper. I know. It's deeper. It's deeper. Now, also, I can't let you go without talking about Black Panther. Congratulations on this one.
Hey, man.
Yo. Okay, we gotta talk about this. You are on two songs on the Black Panther soundtrack. You are on Love and Loyalty. You are on Jelly. Now, please. Yeah. Tell me, how did this come about? Because we only just found out when the soundtrack list was coming out and there was no talks about it. How did it come about? Yeah. Tell me everything. Don't leave out any details.
Hey, man, like, well, this one came to me as a surprise. Like, I've had plans and I've asked God for big things, but this one, man, was just too much for me. Like, it was just beyond what I've asked for. And for me, now, I'm grateful for that, man. Like, one time, I was at my place, and then I get a call. I'm like, hey, do you want to go to Nigeria? I'm like, Nigeria? For what now? I'm like, hey, when I want to go, I will tell you. Do you want to go? And I was like, of course. Who wouldn't want to go to Nigeria? I was like, okay, sharp. And then they told me, okay, sharp. This is going to happen in Nigeria, this and this and this. Yeah, well, you have to, like, you selected to go to Nigeria to do this and this and this and this. Yeah, well, are you open to do it or what? I was like, of course, Baba, let's go.
Mm.
Yeah, well, and then went to Nigeria. Of course, they were like, you mustn't post anything. Yeah, well, don't give it away. Just don't post anything. If you take content, take content, but don't post it. Post it when the actual thing is out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And another thing, like, it was not guaranteed that the songs are going to make it. So it's a thing where you just go there, have a vibe, and then we'll see if the songs are coming out or not. And then we went there, took content, obviously, and then we recorded, we met some of the Blank Panther production guys, and then like some producers and stuff. And then each song was explained to us, go to K-Sharp, the movie's like this. Also, the song that we need is a song that is going to be based on this and this and that.
Mm.
So we made the songs, and then a few months later, they told us the song that was selected way before everyone knew. And then we're happy, 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 happy.
Yeah.
And then now when the news are out, you know, when things are done behind the scenes, you wouldn't think it's that big.
Yeah, yeah.
So you'd be like, take it light and stuff. It's like, okay, Shab went to Nigeria, Black Panther, whatever. Now when this, like, the news are out, and then it's like a realization with actually this thing is very big. Like, it's very too big. Much.
Yeah.
And for me, that is like another thing, like, I haven't got happier even then. I was like, actually, this is like a milestone. Like, it's too much. And for me and for my career, like, that's something that's going to be there forever and ever.
True.
And it's something that is like a huge highlight. Because for me, this year, that's like my biggest highlight, I would say. So, Jay, like, that's what happened, man. And for me, like, I'm very proud of myself and whoever that trusted me and the people that support me at the same time.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful story because now you went there, you also did, we're not even sure if like the songs would come out and whatnot. But
yeah,
when you guys were being told everything, like the whole NDA, don't post out, don't say anything to anyone,
were
you also told who was going to be on this album or you just found out when the whole track list was coming out?
I just found out, I didn't even know. Mm. I didn't know about Rihanna. I didn't know about anyone. I just knew about myself, and I was worried about myself.
So you didn't know about all these other people. So how did you feel then, finding out? Like,
bro, being in the same album with Rihanna is too much. It's too much. Let alone Burna Boy.
Mm.
Let alone, yo, bro. Like, it's like too much, bro. Like, it's like I made a song with Rihanna in a way.
No, but you actually did. I mean, like, there's no way anyone can listen to the soundtrack, like, album or watch the movie without thinking of you in the same breath,
you see,
as Rihanna, as Burna Boy.
And our song comes after Rihanna's song. That's you, like,
it's the, like, they, Jehovah. In this case, you are
when you say next, it's like, I believe.
In love and loyalty.
It's hectic.
But obviously now, you did just mention now that this project on its own was like your biggest highlight from 2022. Yeah. How are you topping it next year?
About next year, hey man, about next year, like, there's more that needs to come. Like, because I feel like this year, man, I've done so much. We started the year with Mlando, and then we did like Tanzania. We did a lot of songs, man. Like there's Black Panther now, there's my album. More like, I have to get more visuals out there, and at the same time, I have to introduce people more to my unplugged band side of things rather than like the club thing, they know.
Yeah,
and more obviously, like, more features are gonna come. There were more like features that you never expected. Yeah, but even now, I worked on a feature with Mr. Taylor, it's a Chrome guy from Cape Town. So,
I know, that's a
different sound. Yeah, and for me, I really love to do what I can do. As a musician, I don't want to be limited or boxed in one thing.
Yeah.
So more collaborations, more strange collaborations, I'll say, to people are going to come, and more bigger brands are going to collaborate with me as a brand as well. So, like, a lot of things are going to happen next year, and you never know. Black Panther happened. It was the biggest thing that came out of the blue. Who knows? Next year, something bigger will come.
Exactly. And we can actually put it like we were mentioning earlier about how some of the things you sing about are coming into fruition later. So maybe we can manifest for it through a song so that it happens next
now
year.
Now I'm going to start singing more about things that I want.
Exactly. Man, I wish you all the best, and thank you so much for making the time to talk to me. And we wait to see what 2023 has in store for you. But above all, I would love to believe that I'm speaking for the whole of Limpopo, for the whole of the country, actually, when I say how proud we are that the work that you put out there is getting recognized, and you are doing amazing for the South African flag.
Nah, thank you so much, man, for inviting me and zooming me, because now I'm being zoomed. Thank you so much, man.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.